This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Larry Richard this morning with Anchorman David Balorado, and the top story around the country right now is the passing of the legendary Gene Hackman, an actor at 95 found in his Santa Fe, New Mexico home along with his wife, Betsy, 63 years old, and the family dog, dead, and they do not suspect foul play yet. As you reported, David, they found them on a welfare check. Yeah, wellness check.
Yeah.
Late, like 1:43 a.m.
No, it was p.m.
P.m.?
P.m. in the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
So when they were out to dinner, that must have been the night before.
Right. So they were seen out to dinner, so that would have been Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And then found at 1:43 yesterday afternoon, Santa Fe time.
But that also seems strange, doesn't it? It's awfully soon to do a welfare check on somebody.
Yeah, in the afternoon.
Especially if they were just seen the night before.
Yeah, seen in public together having dinner out and about. Well, regardless, Gene Hackman had retired. Two-time Oscar winner. When you look at his filmography, it's incredible. His real fame started when The French Connection, which goes back to 1971. And I'm just looking at the list of movies, and it's one hit after another that Gene Hackman was starting. And he was very versatile because he could do the heavy action drama, but he could do the comedy, like Birdcage with Robin Williams.
I forgot about that one.
Oh, my gosh. Fun and funny. Two Superman movies.
Actually, three. He was in Superman 1 and 2, and then he was also in Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
Look at you. I'm impressed. Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood, where he paid, the bad guy.
That was supposed to bring back the Western genre.
It did for a while. It helped. Postcards with Meryl Streep. I mean, The Firm with Tom Cruise. He did a few movies with Clint Eastwood. He did some other comedies. Also worked with Morgan Freeman, but retired from filmmaking in 2006. You know, the last one he did was a Superman movie in 2006, according to this list I have. But regardless, didn't he start out where he was finished last in his class? Least likely to succeed. Which he said was the spark to prove them wrong from his acting school. Yeah. So, see, you never know, David.
Yeah, someone once told that to Lucille Ball as well. They said, just come get your daughter because nothing's ever going to happen with her.
So, don't believe what people tell you about you. But what a tremendous actor, but hasn't made films for a long time. So we'll get the details on that. Weather's always a story, and we've had this stretch where milder weather, but some heavy rain overnight, up to an inch of rain, some minor issues with water flow, and most of the showers are now off to the east of the city of Pittsburgh, but still raining in many parts of our listening area, which should dry up by the end of the morning commute and just leave us with some ground fog and clouds.
Yeah, those certainly, I think we escaped, you and I at least, escaped the problems with the fog yesterday, because it sounds like that was pretty bad all over the area.
It seemed to get worse, yeah. It was out there, but wasn't as thick as it became. So driving in yesterday morning wasn't much of a challenge. And people be talking about, you know, the Steelers do anything, it makes news, right? So they're at the NFL Combine, and little bits and pieces trickle out about the future of the team. The draft's coming up in April, which is still a long way away. And all they're talking about is who the Steelers are going to get for a quarterback. It's amazing the staying power of these stories in this city, right?
Right, right.
I mean, you've got spring training underway in Bradenton with the Pirates. Unfortunately, the Penguins have been tanking, playing absolutely awful. They got beat 6-1 by Philadelphia in Philly a couple of nights ago, and they're home against Philly. I guess the only big takeaway tonight for fans is it's Max Talbot bobblehead night, and there's a rumor Max will be in the building. A Stanley Cup champion with the team, with the famous finger over his mouth, like shh, to the Philadelphia crowd back then during the playoffs. So, do you follow sports very well? You're a rugby player, aren't you, David?
Not anymore, but yeah. I mean, I used to the one I followed closest was the NFL, but there's just something about it over the last few years. I just think maybe they're, instead of going from where Sunday afternoon you would watch your team game, here would be the Steelers, then the national game, and then the Monday night game. Now it seems like there's a football game on almost every night of the week during football season, and I think it loses some of its charm so much with so much heavy exposure.
And by the way, people are already asking, and because of the announcement, the Steelers are playing a regular season game in
Ireland, right?
Ireland and Dublin. It's believed to be, but this isn't official, September 28th. That's with people doing some background work on Croke Park and the stadium there, which designed for soccer, and just the timing of it looks like that'll be the date, but it's not confirmed. And the NFL is the last of all the professional leagues to put out their schedule for the next season.
Right.
And so we don't know. We know which teams they'll play at home and which teams they'll play away. And it's like a giant jigsaw puzzle. There's some Pittsburgh connection with the guy. There's a guy who's the head of creating the schedules, and they have to take all the information in. You know, the stadium, everybody's waiting.
Yeah.
So,
and, of course, the fans, I mean, although you were talking to Marita yesterday and they have the package that's coming out, and it's one thing if the game gets relocated to get your vacation back, but it's just, you know, can I take off work if I, you know, if they're trying to go? There's all sorts of things to factor into to the uncertainty.
Yeah, and that schedule is put out around draft time, so it's not going to be till late April till people find out what the actual NFL schedule. And to that point, a lot of people schedule trips and where they're going, and if they go to one away game, last year the hot game was in Las Vegas, just to go to Vegas and the new stadium with the Raiders. We'll see what the hot travel game is. Well, it's going to be Ireland.
Which is technically a home game, right?
Right. The Steelers are, I believe, designated as the home team for that game, so it'll be good. So that's what people are talking about on the Big K Morning Show. Download the free Odyssey app. Take us with you wherever you go, AUDACY, and we'll keep you posted on breaking news and information. And yesterday, President Trump gathered for the first time with his cabinet and Elon Musk for the latest on what's going on in Washington. CBS's Jared Hill.
A memo went out yesterday detailing some of the lengths to which the Trump administration plans to dismantle the federal workforce, impacting millions across the country, with 80% of federal employees living outside of the D.C. area.
President Donald Trump is doubling down on DOGE.
I think everyone at this table is very much behind it. And if they aren't, I'd want them to speak up, but they're very much behind it.
At the first cabinet meeting of his second term, the president's senior advisor, Elon Musk, defended efforts to slash federal spending and chop the federal workforce.
If we don't do this, America will go bankrupt.
Wednesday, the president signed an executive order expanding the Department of Government Efficiency's power to make more cuts, specifically proposing they trim as much as 65% from the Environmental Protection Agency. The White House is also directing the heads of federal agencies to prepare for large-scale reductions in force.
This country has gotten bloated and fat and disgusting and incompetently run.
During Wednesday's meeting, President Trump also discussed Russia's war on Ukraine, acknowledging that Russia may have to make some concessions. Trump also announced he'll sign a rare minerals deal with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in Washington tomorrow, seen by Trump as repayment for the war. But the agreement doesn't guarantee security protections from the U.S.
We'll be on the land, and, you know, in that way, there's sort of automatic security because nobody's going to be messing around with our people when we're there.
The Russia-Ukraine war is likely to be a key topic when the president meets with British Prime Minister Keir Starmer today at the White House.
And beating a late-night deadline, the Supreme Court says the Trump administration does not have to restart $2 billion in foreign aid payments, at least while justices review this case. This overturns a lower court ruling. We are learning that the Trump administration plans to significantly cut foreign aid, including most humanitarian help around the world.
CBS's Jared Hill. We'll keep you posted on what's going on in Washington, and obviously a lot going on in Washington. And now from CBS.
CBS News special report, Gene Hackman dead at 95.
What Hollywood has lost is a giant of the acting industry.
Entertainment writer Sandro Minetti on Gene Hackman, who's been found dead in his New Mexico home, along with his wife and their pet dog. CBS's Frank Satapani looks back on Hackman's long, varied career.
His big break would come in 1967, when he played a bank robber in Bonnie and Clyde.
Take a good look, Pop. I'm Buck Barrel.
The part earned Hackman the first of five Academy Award nominations. He'd take home an Oscar for Best Actor in The French Connection.
All right, Popeye's here. Get your hands on your heads. Get off the bar and get on the wall.
Then he'd win another for Best Supporting Actor in Unforgiven.
To entertainment writer Sandra Minetti.
You never saw him act. It was just so incredibly natural, and that's what every actor strives for. He made it look effortless.
Police say there are no suspicious circumstances, but an investigation is underway. CBS News special report, I'm Vicki Barker.
And reactions from the movie world pouring in on the passing of Gene Hackman. Also, locally, Aaron, did you see the story Barry Pintar, KDKA-TV, did? Free baby. That's a hashtag.
I just pulled it up.
There's a movement because the Pennsylvania Game Commission took a woman's pet deer. She had a pet deer and said, so you can't have a deer as a pet.
Right. But it's interesting. I have a friend and she, I guess, just had like apples in her backyard. A deer ate it and she keeps putting food out. So the deer comes back and every day she posts, she's like, he's back for more food. So, I mean, what's the harm?
You mean to have a pet deer?
Yeah, because it's casual. Let's be honest. You can't cage a deer.
Maybe they're loaded with ticks. I don't know.
Oh, you know what? That's a fair point.
I mean, are you allowed to have a pet raccoon?
I know someone who does.
Do you?
I do.
We got to reach out to the Game Commission. I want to know, hashtag free baby.
What's going on?
Baby. This is the Big K Morning Show. It's a trickle-down effect. When you don't know how much money you've got coming in, it's hard to figure out a budget. And that's certainly the case when it comes to what's going on at the federal level down to the state level. And joining us, representing the 38th District.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
District of Pennsylvania Senator Lindsey Williams. Senator, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Thanks for having me on.
Education. This has been obviously in the news a lot. It's one of the largest line items of the budget for the state of Pennsylvania, yet there is a lot of uncertainty. So what are you hearing in Harrisburg? Because I hear that you're hearing from superintendents that want to know what's going on.
Yes. I think there's a lot of confusion and uncertainty, like you said, trying to figure out what is going to be cut in terms of dollars from the federal government that we're going to have to replace here in Pennsylvania. About half of Pennsylvania's budget comes from the federal government. And then also this flurry of executive orders and quote-unquote dear colleagues letters, like letters that came from the U.S. Department of Education to our local school districts, them trying to navigate and figure out what should they do, what do they respond to, what effect these have. And even the letter itself said that the guidance does not have the force and effect of law, but that doesn't mean that school districts aren't confused and overwhelmed.
Well, everybody has to make a budget, and obviously superintendents are supercharged to do that. And if you don't know what's coming in, you can't make a reasonable budget. So it has a lot of people on edge.
Yep. I mean, school districts are making their budget right now. They have their school business officials are looking at those dollars, trying to make their budget. And usually they have uncertainty about what is coming from the state, you know, because we do our budget in June or July or August, whenever, you know, we get together and actually get it done in Harrisburg. So they're already facing uncertainty, trying to figure out what the state's going to do. And now the state, like, we're having budget hearings right now with massive uncertainty as to the dollar amount that is going to come from the federal government and what we're going to have to cut or make adjustments for. And that is really hard to manage.
Is there any sense of a timing of when you'll get word? Because we're also hearing that the mandate is to dismantle the Department of Education at the federal level.
I don't know when we will hear. And that is true. We have heard that they want to get rid of the department. I mean, you don't put Linda McMahon in charge of the Department of Education unless you want to destroy it. And quite frankly, our students with the most needs are students with disabilities that rely on both the federal government in terms of money for their education and for the department to enforce their civil rights to be educated are in jeopardy. And it's certainly not a new problem. There has been an effort over the last couple of years in Harrisburg and in D.C. to dismantle, defund, destroy public education. But it is a frenetic pace, and it is unprecedented uncertainty that we are trying to grapple with here in Pennsylvania.
We're with Pennsylvania Senator Lindsey Williams. That said, the president said directly his charge to Linda McMahon was to do such a great job that you put yourself out of a job. In other words, that's the order, is to dismantle the Department of Education.
Yeah. And it, you know, that comes from either people like Elon Musk and their tech bro brothers who want to make money off the backs of students, or from people who have no idea how the education system works and how it actually serves not only to protect our students, but to train our future doctors, lawyers, plumbers, carpenters. Like, if we don't invest in our education, the future of our economy here in Pennsylvania and across America is severely impacted. Like, that is why the founders of Pennsylvania put into our Pennsylvania Constitution that we required a thorough and efficient system of public education, because they understood that that was the basis for not only a functioning economy, but a functioning democracy.
So where does that leave us in the state of Pennsylvania when it comes to education for the future?
It leaves you, like, I encourage each and every one listening to call your state senator, your state rep, your member of Congress, your U.S. senator, and let them know that you are watching, that you are looking at the education budget to see what that number is, because you care about your kids, that you're looking at cuts to Medicare and Medicaid. that you are looking at cuts to programs that matter to you and your family, call them. Let them know the real-life impact, because we have people in Washington who don't have the first idea what you are going through making decisions.
Senator, appreciate your time. Good luck. Sounds like a lot of challenges ahead.
Thank you so much.
All right, Senator Lindsey Williams, representing the 38th District, which, by the way, is a good chunk of Allegheny County. And uncertainty, certainly when it comes to budget, seems to be pervasive around whatever level of government you're involved in. Listen for The Drive at 5, top stories driving the news every weekday afternoon. Brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh, Demand the Yellow Van. Larry Richard with Barry Pintar, my KDK television colleague and Clarion brethren. Barry, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
You're killing it, brother. Love your work on KDK TV.
Thank you, sir.
This story is going viral. Hashtag free baby.
I know.
I didn't know you couldn't have a deer for a pet, but it's caused a lot of consternation. So give us kind of the details behind this.
Yeah, so I didn't know either. And you know how this is, Larry, when you work in this business. I went in yesterday, was handed a criminal complaint against a woman in Connellsville who was arrested for having a deer. And I'm reading this criminal complaint. I'm going, what in the world is going on? So long and short, I managed to get a hold of her. And I'm like, her name's Tammy. I'm like, Tammy, can we, if you mind, if we drive down there and talk to you about what's going on? So sure enough, we did. So here's what's up. 2 years ago, a fawn was found, apparently, who one of the neighbors thought was very poorly and not doing well. So they kind of nursed it back to health. Well, the neighborhood, the entire neighborhood, and let me set up this neighborhood for you, because when we say Fayette County, Connellsville, I want you to know that we're a few blocks from a beautiful golf club with very nice homes. So picture that kind of neighborhood. And this woman had a fenced-in backyard, and long and short, in 2 years, this neighborhood has kind of loved this deer, raised it as their own, had a collar on it, a dog collar with tags that says this is our domesticated deer, and got it vaccinated, got it castrated, which I know raises a lot of eyebrows, to keep it calm so it could be a nice kind of pet. But here's the bottom line. I talked to the Game Commission several times yesterday, because why did the Game Commission show up? And if you saw the video, if you haven't seen it, go to the CBS YouTube page or my Twitter page, and you can see the story there. Rather violently ropes and ties this very well-beloved deer and takes it away, with literally the neighborhood screaming, "You're hurting baby, you're hurting baby." Here's the bottom line, Larry. If any wild animal, a raccoon, a deer, anything, is born in the wild, and that's what makes it a wild animal, they fall under the Game Commission, and is illegal in Pennsylvania to own that as a pet. One might say, well, what about petting zoos or deer farms and these types of things? If a deer or an wild animal is born in captivity, now they fall under the Department of Agriculture, and with the correct paperwork, they can be a pet. Bottom line, the Game Commission is saying, baby was born in the wild. It's a wild animal. You legally cannot have him, a two-year-old buck. So they came and took it away, and people are just, as you say, the story has gone viral and are up in arms saying, give baby back. They love baby. And I'll tell you, Larry, they love baby, this entire neighborhood. They love this deer as their pet. So they're quite upset.
Nobody can put baby in a corner.
That's what some of the comments says, exactly.
I'm sure. Oh, man. I didn't realize that you couldn't have a deer as a pet. I know it's super rare, but to actually have a criminal complaint, and then where is baby?
Well, okay, so let me explain the criminal complaint. So apparently for several hours, the Game Commission showed up. Tammy is the woman's name, was showing the paperwork. Look, I filed all the paperwork. A disabled woman lives with her. They have it registered as an emotional support pet for this disabled woman. Again, well-loved, well-taken care of deer. But the bottom line, because it was not born in captivity, if it were born in captivity, that'd be fine. Because it wasn't, it isn't. And this is what the Game Commission told me, that I'll answer your question very quickly. They're saying, Barry, look, you have to understand. I know people think, look, a beautiful white-tailed, docile deer, a very sweet little pet. But they said, we have story after story of people who have done this. And once that buck goes into rut or mating season, we have stories where suddenly they are mauling their owners or trampsing them or, you know, with their antlers going after them. And there is serious concern and danger to the people in that neighborhood. While they may be great 350 days a year, for those 15 days a year, they actually become, they can.
So it's like spring, dangerous. Spring break.
Yeah, exactly. Going to the spring break. So where is Baby? The Game Commission tells me Baby has not been euthanized, because that's their big concern. That Baby is at an undisclosed location while they're trying to figure out what they will do next. Now, in the meantime, Tammy and this neighborhood, they've got lawyers. Of course, she has a court date because she is facing several charges of her trying to stop them from taking Baby. So this is a definite ongoing developing story worth following for sure.
And I highly recommend you see Baby. Follow Barry Pintar, KDK TV, hashtag free baby. Well, right. How are you going to top that story today?
I know. Well, you know, I had Lucky the dog, and then I was in the wildfire, so I just kind of get these stories that I'm known for. But Baby is, people are invested. And I got to say, there are a contingent of people out there, just so you know, who are saying, this is ridiculous. No one should try to take a wild animal because, of course, Baby can't be released back into the wild now. So there are people who are saying she should never have it in the first place, but the vast majority of people are saying, give the woman in this neighborhood their deer back who they love and take care of. Now it's up to the Game Commission, bottom line.
Their emotional support animal. Barry, yeah. Great stuff. Thank you.
My pleasure, Larry, always.
Keep us posted. The great Barry Pintar from KDK TV. You got to see Baby, right, Aaron? You saw
right.
Baby. Now, do you want a free baby?
I'd like to see Baby.
Go
free
back.
In the wild.
Yeah. Go let him have Baby.
Yeah, not in the wild, I guess, but
no,
back in the backyard.
Yeah, they neutered the thing. It's going to be trouncing around in a wild. No, you can't. You got to keep Baby.